We're talking today with Scott DeWald, Executive Vice President of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. And Scott, we're here at the tail end of 2012, and I want to just visit with you a little bit today about where we really are at the end of this past 12 months. This calendar year now pretty well done. What kind of a year has it really been for the folks that are a part of your association?
It's been a tough year. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. The drought has created a lot of problems out there for producers. They don't have enough surface water. So it's just been a tough year. They've sold off a lot of cows. Our cow inventory's way down, and just waiting for that next rain.
When we think about, you know, where we are right now, it seems like we've had pretty good prices this year, but I know the costs have really escalated for a lot of our producers.
Right. I mean, when you're looking at $8 corn and $10 beans, you're looking at extremely high feed cost. Feedlots aren't making any money. They're draining equity. Our cow-calf producers are draining equity as they try to ride out this drought period. And so while prices have been good and we've been able to, in some respects, at least get paid decent for what we produce, fuel prices, fertilizer prices, tire prices, nothing is cheaper than it was before. It's all more expensive, 30, 40, 50% higher. It just makes it awful hard to make a profit in the industry.
When we think about, you know, a year ago at this time, we had still some remnants of drought in the state, but it was really nothing like we've got right now. How has the drought impacted the cattle industry this year compared to 2011?
Well, I think that depends on what part of the state you're from. You get to far western Oklahoma up into the Panhandle, they never came out of drought. There were parts of the state, the central swath of the state, and northeast Oklahoma, they came out of the drought last spring. We had those nice rains. We were able to kind of take a deep breath and have some reprieve. But we do have a segment of our population out there that has never come out of drought from last year. Those that were able to last year put up a lot of hay in the spring. They were doing everything they could to get the barns full of hay. That's certainly been helpful coming in to now. But I think we probably have the youngest cow herd on record, the smallest cow herd on record. Less mouths to feed is really important right now. But those who, like I say, you get out in that Arnett country, Ellis County, Woodward County, up into Cimarron County, Beaver and Texas counties, and even far southwest Oklahoma never came out of it.
When we think about those mama cows, you talk about we've got fewer mouths to feed. A lot of liquidation in 2011. Not quite as much in 2012, right?
Well, that's correct, and I think that's just an example where you got rid of most of what you had the first year, and there wasn't that much left to call out the next year. That's why I say we had the youngest cow herd probably on record. Now, saying that and painting kind of a bleak picture of the industry, you look at all the purebred sales that we had last spring and this fall, they were very, very strong. There's strong and good demand for good genetics. I think that's because there's, you know, eternal optimism in the industry that we're going to come out of this drought. We're going to have young cows and bred females and such. So it's not all bleak. Droughts come, droughts go. The question is, how quickly will this one go?
And I guess what, at this point, one of the things that we're learning and has been suggested by Darrell Peel quite a few times over the last year or so is the value of that forage that we've got versus feed.
Oh, that's exactly right. And those guys and gals that were able to put up any forage or summer stockpile any are going to have an advantage. There's absolutely no doubt about it coming into this year so that they don't have to feed as much of the grains. When you see the grains doing what they've been doing, and I'm not saying just last week. Let's talk all year long what the grains have done, $8 corn and, again, $10 beans. It makes it extremely hard.
When we think about some of the things that have gone on, you know, outside of the – beyond the ranch gate, maybe at the state house first of all and then at the federal level as well, is there anything really notable about this last year's legislative session or some of the regulatory things that went on within the state that really stick out in your mind?
I think the most notable is all the discussion about tax cuts and possible elimination of this income tax in the state of Oklahoma, doing away with certain tax credits, and possible elimination of the sales tax exemption on ag inputs. To me, are, you know, those are the big issues that can have the biggest impact on a person's bottom line. Coming into this next legislative session, which starts in February, we've been monitoring the situation there. There are only about 25 bills so far pre-filed. The discussion will continue about possible lowering or eliminating the income tax. And our fear, of course, is if you do that, how do you make up that difference? Will it be increases in property tax, which property taxes you pay regardless of whether you have a year like this year or a year like 5 years ago that was, you know, pretty profitable. And so we're going to have to keep a real, real close eyeball on that.
Federally, I know there's big concern within the cattle industry, really anybody within agriculture for that matter, what's going on regarding the fiscal cliff and embedded down in all those tax discussions, the death tax.
Oh, that's exactly right. And we've been advising our members and anyone that will listen for the last 6 months, be talking to your tax accountant as we get ready to jump off of this cliff, which it appears we're going to do. Make sure that you've got your house in order, financial house in order, so that you can withstand whatever short-term storm. And I do think it will be short-term. I think Congress eventually will get something fixed. But you don't want to be the guy that's stuck there in the middle during the worst tax environment you could possibly be in. So we've been advising everyone to take a look at that. The other thing they need to be looking at real hard is if they are people that cash lease to other individuals to farm or ranch their properties, there are certain provisions they need to be looking at as far as their involvement and whether or not that's unrealized income or realized income and whether they have to pay taxes on that. So I think now is probably the most important time, or the last 6 months has been, to make sure you're talking to your accountant.
I know that you know, obviously at that federal level also, a lot of concern within the cattle industry, talking to folks like Collingwood All and others at NCBA, the regulatory atmosphere with the Obama administration being reelected. Word comes today Lisa Jackson stepping down, but obviously there will be somebody else in her place, and probably this Obama agenda will continue.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's four more years that we have that will continue. I think we'll continue to be in a defensive posture as we look at proposed rules and regulations. There's not a week passes by that there's not two or three sets of rules that are proposed out of the administration. That's not just a Democrat administration or Republican. We seem to have a whole lot more rulemaking coming out of this particular administration and that we have to respond to, whether it be child labor laws, which, you know, that's one of those successful stories we had this last year. Hope we didn't, you know, wish we didn't have to fight that deal, but we did, and the industry won. The transportation regulations that came down, we fought and won. The GPSA rules that came down. I think we're going to have to be ever vigilant as we come into 2013 and just watch very closely and be ready to respond accurately and succinctly as to why those things would be detrimental to the cattle industry and, quite frankly, to rural Oklahoma.
One last question, Scott, and that has to do really kind of with some of the internals within the beef industry itself. One thing we've talked about and I know a lot of discussion in 2012 again about the declining value of the dollar head beef checkoff. Is 2013 a year that might finally be addressed, or are we going to keep kicking that can further down the road?
I was in a meeting in Denver about 2 weeks ago having this very discussion. The whole conversation is about enhancing the checkoff. And quite frankly, there are several things that could be done to make the value of the dollar that we currently have worth a little more. There could be some tweaks to the act and the order. And then beyond that, do we have an opportunity to perhaps raise the checkoff? And the reality is we don't have as much money by today's dollar value as we did back in 86 when the original act was passed. We just don't have the purchasing power to go out and buy TV. We don't have the purchasing power to get in front of the consumers as much as we should be able to. And so I think you will see a move made for a possible enhancement to the checkoff. Will that be another dollar, another 50 cents? Will it be state by state? Those questions are yet to be answered. We saw Ohio try to do a dollar increase in their checkoff for state programs that failed. So we've got to be careful. Whatever we do has got to make sense, and there's got to be a succinct and quantifiable reason for doing it. I would tell you that the funds from the checkoff need to be enhanced greatly if we want to be competitive.
Of course, now, one time Oklahoma had a state checkoff. We moved away from that. We actually backed the council, beef council, away from the state structure. Is there any possibility Oklahoma might look at a separate state checkoff as well?
I think anything is possible. One of the things that has changed in the last 10 years in Oklahoma is that now the Secretary of Agriculture can call for a referendum on any commodity. It's not; it doesn't have to be legislated. At the end of the day, whatever might be decided, the people still have the option to vote and the opportunity to vote on that. Part of me really likes the idea and the notion that a organized, orchestrated national campaign with dollars behind it makes a little more sense than just a bunch of sporadic programs out there running, doing their own thing, so to speak. So I tend to have placed a little more value on a national checkoff that is orchestrated, coordinated, and has a distinct purpose and goal in mind. That's not to say that state checkoffs aren't effective. They are, but you lose all of that synergy of all those dollars coming together and trying to do one thing, and that's to enhance beef demand.
Have any of our neighbors like Texas, Kansas, New Mexico looked at a state, you know, additional add-on?
Well, yeah. I mean, not necessarily a neighbor, but Alabama has an add-on that they do. I know there's ongoing discussions in Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma. I mean, those discussions are always taking place. But I think the big trump card again is, you know, what's more valuable? Is it a national organized structure or is it state by state? I would say that if the national checkoff is not – if we're not able to increase the national checkoff and make it more robust, then obviously there's going to be more incentive to do it state by state.
Executive Vice President Scott DeWall talking with us about 2012 and a little bit of a peek into 2013 as well. That's a look at our agricultural news. Have a great day. Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.